Hello and welcome to another episode of DeGuard's Podcast. I'm Nathan Rivard, and today joining us in the studio is Captain Conrad Roberts. He is a 14-year veteran who now leads the North Dakota National Guard's counter-drug program. Before we dive into the incredible team his work's done in 2025, we're going to highlight his background a little bit and the impact his team has on the state. So, Captain Roberts, hello and welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, so right now you're the coordinator for the counter-drug program, but your career started back in 2011 as an enlisted member, and you enlisted as a horizontal construction engineer. What drew you to the National Guard and that career field?
Well, I was at a very, interesting point in my life where I was done with my two-year degree, didn't come from a wealthy family, didn't know how I would pay for a four-year degree. So one day I decided that I'm going to go talk to the ROTC office at NDSU. And initially it was Ron Joyce. He was the RU, I don't recall what the acronym stands for, but essentially he's the guy that did all the recruiting for officers to NDSU and UND, I believe. And he said, "Oh, you got your two-year degree already? Why don't you just go join the Guard? And then you can come back to us when you're done with basic, and then you just have 2 years and you get your four-year degree. Super easy. All right, well, let me go to the recruiter." So literally drove to the recruiting station, talked to Sergeant Katie Fagry. That was her maiden name. I don't know what she is, or I believe she's retired now, but she was my recruiter. Got me a MEPS appointment 2 weeks later. Went to MEPS and joined the Guard.
So trying to break records with, too many people that do it within 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, I don't know why I wanted to do ROTC, and then some other opportunities came forward before I was able to go back to school after basic training. And to answer your question about horizontal construction engineer, I originally was going to be geospatial engineer, but there was only one slot in the state, and they promised that to somebody else who hadn't enlisted yet, but they wanted to hold their word. So I've always loved heavy equipment, and that was one of the first things that I thought, I could go to do something that I've loved since I was a kid. So it's fun. Sometimes I think it's more fun than flying helicopters, to be completely honest, but
I'm sure it's a little bit less high in the air as well.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So you talked about attending NDSU. You finished your two-year degree looking for the four-year, essentially to become an officer. So you received what was then called the Minuteman Scholarship to attend NDSU. What does that pay for you? And then what was your motivation to actually become an officer in the National Guard?
Yeah, so I started out in the 815th Engineer Company. It was some of the most fun I've ever had, running heavy equipment. Great culture that they had down there as far as just the team working together. It was your own detachment, 60 miles away from the nearest headquarters unit. There's a lieutenant in charge of the 40 dudes that did their jobs well, and just getting to lead that kind of organization was really what spurred me and helped me decide that officer was going to be a better career for my future.
And then becoming an officer, you chose the branch and became an aviation officer. So what was it about aviation that captured your interest to move away from heavy equipment?
Well, I had always thought aviation was like an unattainable, like when you're outside of aviation, you look at them and you're like, "Oh, those guys are so cool." Because when I was with the 815th, I had the opportunity to go to air assault and rappel master schools. And I was rappel master, or was performing rappel master duties up at Camp Grafton. And the aviation battalion came through, and I was doing rappel master stuff for those guys while they were on the rappel wall. Just some of the stories that they were sharing and just the atmosphere that they had and the culture that you could see that, they were all in it together. And that really drew me towards it. And then also a good friend of mine that he's lives in Hawaii. His name is Robbie Melland. I don't know if some of the listeners maybe know who he is, but good friend of mine. He just was like, well, if you want to do aviation, why don't you just do it? And I was like, well, I don't feel like I'm smart enough and all this other stuff. And he's like, no, man, just go for it. So I tried. I went to the board. They liked me. And yeah, that's really long story short. That's how I joined or got to branch aviation.
So then another little funny side story, you didn't put it in your bio, but you were actually previously heavily involved in U.S. biathlon with the National Guard. You used to be a snowmaker. So what was, talk me through that, because the Olympics are going on right now and we have a lot of guardsmen that are competing. So what is it, how are you involved with that program and what did you do?
Well, so when I was in high school, I did a sport called biathlon. It's Nordic skiing and rifle marksmanship. So it's a very small community, but I joined the Guard. I was called by Major Parsons. He was the biathlon coordinator for Guard Bureau at that time. It's based, the National Guard biathlon program is based out of Vermont. And he was our director at the time. And then Colonel Dave Skalicki called me literally 2 days after I enlisted and was like, hey, we got this great opportunity for you. You can be an athlete for the National Guard and we'll pay you and your travel. So before I even went to basic training, I had been put on 2 weeks of orders to go train up for just doing biathlon and meeting the coaches out there. And so I was fresh in the Guard, no basic training. I don't think I'd even been to an RTC drill yet. And I was given the opportunity to go to Vermont to train for 2 weeks. The readiness at RTC was not thrilled that she's getting calls from a lieutenant colonel wondering where Private First Class Roberts' orders were so he could go travel out to Vermont. She's like, you gotta call me when you do this stuff. That was Casey Brush, for those listening. That
yeah, one of those things you're like, I don't know.
I just got here. I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm a private. They told me to come do this thing, so I'm doing it.
Yeah. So to finish that up, though, started doing biathlon for the National Guard as an athlete, and that's what I was doing, you know, from when I enlisted to when I started at North Dakota State University. So it was about three-year period where I was a full-time athlete. The change happened when I got married, and I realized I didn't want to travel all over the world doing biathlon and just wanted to be home with my wife and figure out what my future was going to be. So really that's what helped get me back on track to NDSU, ROTC commissioning, and continuing on with my career. So,
absolutely. And now in your career, you're the coordinator for our counter-drug program. So you went from engineering, biathlon, helicopters. You also have a deployment to the southern border.
Yep.
So a lot of diverse aspects of your career. And now your full-time role is the state counter-drug coordinator. So how do you feel those things prepared you for it, and what is the job of our counter-drug coordinator?
I just am blessed to have been given all of these opportunities throughout my career. I know it's not I've had the opportunity to say for every job that I've had that it's the best job in the National Guard. And I truly believe that doing biathlon, full-time athlete, some of the coolest opportunities I've ever experienced, traveling all over the world, going to NDSU for ROTC, through the ROTC program. Again, there were some aspects that were not so fun, specifically cadet summer camp in Fort Knox, 14 days in the woods, not enjoyable. I guess it's all relative, but so commissioning as an aviation officer, that also is just, you know, one of the coolest jobs in the Army again, because you fly helicopters. The Army literally sends you to school for 18 months, pays you to fly helicopters or learn how to fly helicopters, and then you get back to the state you're assigned and get to fly again. So and then you know, getting the opportunity to deploy, you know, it was really hard on the family being gone for 13 months, but again, perspective is everything. I was in the United States in a hotel without a roommate or anything. Again, a super cool opportunity. Got to be the detachment OIC for Edinburgh, Texas. 37 soldiers out of Oregon that I was in charge of, and it was a combination of Oregon, Wisconsin, Michigan, Montana, North Dakota. Got to deploy with my brother. He was there too, so that was also a bonus. Didn't get to fly with him because against Army regulations, but maybe someday.
So then transitioning into your current role as a full-time position for the state's counter-drug coordinator, what is a counter-drug coordinator? Like, what is the program, and what do you do for the counter-drug program? Like, what's your primary mission?
All right, so the counter-drug program is actually federal funding designated for drug reduction, drug interdiction, drug curtailment, mitigation, essentially, on behalf of the governor. So we submit a state plan every year, and that's a large portion of the counter-drug coordinator's responsibilities is managing that relationship between the governor, the TAG, and essentially the North Dakota National Guard in the execution of these funds to mitigate the drug threat in North Dakota. So managing that relationship is what the CDC does. Managing the personnel, we have a phenomenal NCOIC, Sergeant Major Brock Klecke, that has been in the program for 17 years, very long time, and wealth of knowledge, and has been a great great mentor throughout my time in the program. So very, very fortunate. And then managing the budget, that's another big portion of it as well.
And it seems like you have two very distinct aspects of the program. One is, enforcing enforcement support for local and federal state law enforcement, but then also community outreach. So why is it important for the Guard in the counter-drug program to be involved in both those aspects?
So the counter-drug program has several functional areas, aviation support, analytical support, ground reconnaissance support, and then outreach support. North Dakota performs three of those functional areas: aviation support, analytical, and outreach. North Dakota is so open that there isn't a whole lot of use for ground recon, because a lot of those guys are used for helping find grows out in the sticks of Kentucky or any other heavily wooded state.
Yeah. Easier to fly a helicopter when you can look at the prairies.
Yeah, helicopters have a lot better visibility of the ground situation. So,
absolutely. And then you talked about it a little bit with the community support. So last year, you were involved in a lot of outreach, doing a lot of visits, and you actually did community outreach to over 2,400 kids and students.
Yep.
So why is it important to take part in those school events with local law enforcement? And then what's it like for a kid to, like, see soldiers and helicopters, aircraft, of something they might not even know exists?
Yeah, so you're that's our drug demand reduction and outreach functional area. It was more prominent back 10 years ago, where outreach was a big part of what counter drug did. Went away for, like I said, 10 years or so. But now it's back because people are realizing that, or leadership is realizing that, seeing the National Guard within the community performing tasks that aren't directly related to recruiting is incredibly beneficial for building credibility within the organization and within the community. So our outreach efforts are to partner with schools across the state, with law enforcement, in coordination with law enforcement. That's the key aspect there. And essentially we help do all of the functions that the military is good at: coordination, networking, planning, and we help bring these events together with DEA, sheriff's office, state law enforcement, federal law enforcement, bring all these parties together to create an event that is memorable and impactful to students. And so we present this information on the impacts of drugs and how how it can impact you as you're growing. I'm a product of the Dare generation. I still get the Dare song stuck in my head occasionally. And really, I think just getting kids exposed at a young age to help them realize how bad and how bad of an impact drugs can have on you as you're developing is incredibly important.
And I know one of the big events you did was you partnered with a mother who unfortunately lost a child to drugs, and it was talking about her story of trying to help the next generation of this is what the impact is. So can you explain a little bit about what you do for those?
That is incorporated into our programming that we provide. It's the perspective of lasting impacts. It's not just you OD on drugs and you're gone and everybody forgets you. It's you're gone and it's a lasting impact on everybody that you knew or that was a part of your community. So, helping students realize that decisions they make have a lasting impact beyond just themselves is incredibly, it's a part of what we're trying to convey. But I think the most effective way is real world experiences, and having a mother talk about her real world experiences. I feel like a lot more people can understand that perspective. So it's a real tearjerker, I tell you.
No, I can imagine it's, someone speaking to it, this is how it's impacted my life. And my child didn't think it would, and then here I am dealing with the repercussions of that.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. So one of the other things you do with the community outreach, the DDRO, is drug takebacks. You have assisted in collecting over 126 pounds of expired drugs, which in my mind is a ton, because I know whenever I was received prescription drugs after a doctor's visit, he's sick, anything like that, it's usually a tiny, tiny amount. So 126 pounds, basically a person. And the value of that was over $100,000 in value. So why are these drug take-back events a very important, critical part of your overall counter-drug strategy?
Yeah, it's we're partnering with law enforcement agencies to help provide the logistics and the personnel to be at the booth available for community members to bring their expired prescriptions to. A lot of people don't know what to do with them. They get prescribed however many pills of opioids to help mitigate their pain, and they don't use them all, which is good for them. But what do you do with it after the fact? It is a controlled substance. And again, the best thing to do is bring it to a drug take back event. It helps keep it off the street. It won't inadvertently get into somebody's hands. So I'm not saying, everybody's nefarious with them, but it's just a good way to keep them off the get them off the streets and keep them off the streets.
So definitely better than I'm going to do the flush it down the toilet.
Yeah, it's definitely better than doing that.
So you have full-time staff with yourself, pilots, other people that can do it as well, but you're also incorporating, traditional guard members who work that one weekend a month, essentially. I understand pilots get a little bit more because they need to stay current on their hours, but you've been integrating them in real-world missions. So how does that benefit the pilot and your program and the overall readiness of the National Guard to be able to have experienced pilots get more experience within your program?
Yep. So the, mission essential tasks that and the individual tasks that the pilots have to perform on the National Guard side are what you do on the counter-drug side. Essentially identical. So being able to allow our M-Day soldier or M-Day pilots to perform those real world missions, it helps. The training value is incredible that they get to execute it real world. So being able to prioritize, flight hours are a finite resource, and being able to ensure that other pilots have the opportunity to fly and get that real-world training is incredibly valuable to their abilities as pilots and the training value out of it.
looking back on your, you know, fiscal year 25 counter drug achievements, some of them are pretty significant. So one of them is over $1 million in cash, assisting local and federal law enforcement with 130 arrests linked to the operations you're supporting. And a lot of that comes down to not just aircraft in the sky, but a lot of analytical support. So what is it that you're doing and how are you achieving those results?
Yeah, the analysts that we have with, you know, National Guard soldiers performing duties, intel analysts for these drug task forces, they're not directly, you know, they're not on the front lines seizing the drugs. This is their analytical work that directly contributes to the seizure of that, you know, money, drugs, weapons, arrests, whatever it is. They directly contribute to that. So that is where those numbers come from. Really, the efforts on the southern border have actually paid off. There's been a significant decrease in fentanyl seizures over the last 12 months, and cash seizures increased.
And then the data you're showing from last year, basically the successes you have, is you still seized an incredible amount of, you know, fentanyl pills, grams of fentanyl, cocaine, black tar heroin, methamphetamines. So what are the trends you're seeing of you being able to seize those? Like, doing a great, just the state and federal are doing a great job together, or is it there's different things in place here? Or?
Yeah, it's working those partnerships, and that's, again, what our analysts are trying to do is bring everybody together for that common goal, which is to mitigate the drug threat in North Dakota. So if we can be that bridge between agencies, you know, trying to be that common ground that brings everybody together to meet that common goal. That's the biggest aspect that our analysts bring, is commonality. So they're able to meet with their fellow analysts. Fargo's able to talk easily between Bismarck and Minot and, you know, the other locations that we have our analysts at.
I think one of the big highlights from last year was actually award that your program received with other agencies for working together to help combat drug trafficking, and that was being organized. So what was that award that you received, and why'd you receive it?
Yeah, so one of our members was the recipient of that award, Outstanding Cooperative Effort Award from the Midwest High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area Director. And that was really, it just showcases our analyst's ability to work outside of, you know, multi-agency organizations, be able to coordinate through federal organizations outside of North Dakota. And it really just highlights how the drug threat to North Dakota is a national issue as well. It's not just isolated to North Dakota. We're impacted just as much as the next state. So being able to work with other states and other federal agencies is incredibly important to the success of the counter drug program here in North Dakota.
And then looking ahead, had a very successful year for fiscal year 25. What would you say you're most proud of from that year?
Oh man, all our folks working together to mitigate the drug threat. I've said it a bunch, but that is the sole reason North Dakota counter drug exists. And to top it off, we're not just, we're not just intel analysts, we're not just pilots, we're not just budget analysts and NCOICs, we're soldiers, first and foremost. We're bridgers, we're engineers, MPs, all the MOSs that our soldiers do, being able to balance your full-time job requirements with your traditional guard requirements and being citizen soldiers is, you know, being able to lead those people is probably the most satisfying or gratifying part of my job. And then the impact that we get to make on the community is incredible. You know, one of the events, outreach events that we did, we landed a helicopter in the Alexander football field, Alexander, North Dakota, small town by Watford City, and landed a helicopter in their football field, dropped off our DEA agent to go do a couple presentations for for our outreach curriculum and get out the helicopter, and the crowd is roaring. These kids are just pumped because it's the coolest thing that's probably happened to New Alexander in 20 years. We did another event similar in Dunseith, and I was literally told by several people, man, this is the coolest thing in Dunseith in 25 years. So being able to provide that experience is also very gratifying, and just shows that what we do is successful, because you will never be able to quantify, did that event stop this person from using drugs in the future? I'm never going to know that, but it's just hoping that the impact you create at that age will last and hopefully get them interested in maybe joining the Guard someday, you know?
Yeah, definitely, though, you land and then the kid just waiting for the helicopter to turn off so they can start climbing around, sit in the cockpit.
Yeah, climbing, that's a little aggressive.
Well, inside, you know, sit in the seat.
Yeah, getting to sit in the helicopter, and a lot of kids love it. It's pretty cool to see the smiles on their faces. So.
And then what are you looking forward to in 2026?
Really just doing it all over again. I think we've got a really good thing going. Again, best job in the Army right now for me. And continuing improving the program, because there's always ways we can improve and meeting the high expectations that the TAG and Governor have for our program.
And then if there's anyone out there with local federal law enforcement, what would be a way for them to basically work with you? Like, what's something you'd want them to highlight if they want to do a community event with you or work with you? What would be the process for them?
Yeah, just reach out to our office. And you'll be able to get in contact with myself or NCOIC, and we'll work with you from there.
Perfect. That was today's episode. We are joined by Captain Conrad Roberts. He is the counter-drug coordinator for the North Dakota National Guard. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.